Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word on this beautiful Sunday that God has made on this Sunday afternoon in the city of Dallas, the twin cities of Dallas-Fort Worth. We are in what I call the Golden Triangle. If you're having any problems where you are, you will still have some problems if you come to Texas, but I invite you to come. I think life will be better for you. And if you want to know the Golden Triangle, you contact me, I'll tell you. We thank God for the big blue skies of Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. And I hope that God is blessing you where you are, for he can and will. Wherever you are in the world, we thank God for all of our friends in Kenya, West Africa. We thank God for all of our friends in Ghana, in East Africa, Nigeria, South Africa, France, Spain, Great Britain, many friends in Great Britain, Canada, across America, China, Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Israel, Philippines, Pakistan. Many of you are receiving letters from one of our workers here, Elizabeth. Her and her team are in more contact with you now, and you're responding, and we thank God for you. In response to your letters, we're writing you back in response to your prayer requests. And we have an idea for a major site to go up just for you that hopefully will be up within a month. And we thank God for everybody with us today, live and on demand, and I am told live on 16 different platforms. If you are seeing me right now and hearing me right now, you're listening or participating or watching me on one platform, but there are 16 others that are live and many more that are on demand around the world. We have websites in every country of the world and every major city in the world by the grace of God. So we thank God for all of those who are able to hear us and see us, and we thank God for your support. All of your amens, all of your stars and hearts and likes, we appreciate that. May I preach in your hearing today a simple message with just a few verses. And this is a part one. The importance of bringing others to Jesus. The importance of bringing others to Jesus. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 679, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 1044, since January the 1st, 2016, by the grace of God. And we're marching on, and as you know, I'm taking a break for a few weeks, but we'll resume everyday preaching here shortly. And my oldest son is helping me with a new series that is designed to hopefully bring about revival in America and around the globe, and also designed always, in the words of Billy Graham and his team, always good news. Always the gospel. Always sharing the gospel. But this message here is about do something. My dear friends, people are dying and going to hell. I don't care what you're going through, do something for them. Don't only bring yourself to Christ, bring others to Christ. Amen, somebody. If you are an introverted person and all you can do is pass out a gospel tract, do that and do it well. Please turn in your Bibles while you're standing out of respect for the Word of God. I say to you what the beautiful Elizabeth Teller told her 9+ husbands. We won't be long. This won't be long. Matthew chapter 9, verse 32. And they went out, that is, the blind men, and I'm sure others. Behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, can somebody say amen? I don't care what else you do, you got to get the devil out. You can go to a psychologist. You can go to an insane asylum. You can go to a Christian counselor. But if they're possessed with devils and demons, you got a problem on your hands. And some of you trying to be sweet, trying to be cute, and trying to be kind, you have people who are demon-possessed in your family. And I'm not a Pentecostal preacher. I am a Baptist preacher. But I know for a fact many people are filled with demons. And that they have invited demons into their lives through many, many avenues. Some of your children are demon-possessed because of the demon activity, the evil activity they are participating in. Not necessarily on the computer you provided for them at the house that you got checks on, but their little cell phone that you don't know they have. Which, by the way, is just as powerful as a laptop or a desktop computer. If you have a child who's contorting his face, or she mumbles, and you can't hear her, there's a devil loose. She may very well be demon possessed. He may very well be demon possessed, because they can talk quite well with their friends about demon activity and the evil that they're doing. But when they talk to you, they act like they can't hear you. They're deaf and dumb. Excuse me while I tell you the truth. I'm not preaching right now. I'm telling you the truth. When they act like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde around their friends, they're happy and gay and jumping up and down, and they love their friends that you don't know and they don't really know more than they love you and their siblings. But they get around you and their siblings, they can't talk. They're deaf and dumb. That's a demon. It's a demon somewhere. I know you don't want to hear it, particularly you evangelicals. I said it before and I'll say it again. I believe that evangelicals have turned into the Pharisees of our time. We have a bunch of liars in the church. Everybody's family is perfect. It's wonderful, sweet. There's no devil attacking them, no demons attacking them. They make sure of it because they don't do anything for God but go to church on Sunday morning. The devil is right there beside you in church, by the way. The devil goes to church more than you do. Rising up early and going. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. See, When the devil is cast out, problems are resolved. You don't need a psychiatrist or a psychologist. You don't need a Christian counselor. You need to ask God to cast that devil out. The dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. One of the doorways for the devil is today, is computers, laptops, desktops, iPads, Kindles. Some of you parents, you buy your child at every opportunity another electronic device, and the devil's coming in through that doorway. You don't believe me? You don't believe me? Listen to me very carefully. Take all of their devices from them as a punishment or just as a test, and you will be amazed at the reaction. The grieving process will start. That's going to start. It's going to be depression, sadness, unbelief, like they lost a human being. But if you keep all of their devices from them for about a week, around the 7th or 8th or 9th day, you'll see a much happier child, a much more a child who communicates more. The child that you knew before, who had a little sparkle in their eye, a little pep in their step, they will not understand it, but you will. The object, the thing that the devil is using to mess up their attitudes and their spirits and their minds is gone. You're not going to do it because you're afraid of your own child. You'd be amazed at how many parents are afraid of their children. And when you take it from them, you will be tussling with the devil. For that child will act like a devil, and the older they are, the more they will try to fight for that device or steal it back from you. It's a demonic thing. And I know you're saying, oh, preacher, oh, you're overstating it, preacher. Oh, it's just typical teenagers. That's a problem. I told my children a long time ago, the worst thing I can call you is a typical teenager. Christians ought not to be typical teenagers, period. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. And you would know that this is true, this statement is true, if you read the Old Testament. Andy, I love you, my brother, but you're wrong. We ought to read the New Testament and the Old Testament. The New Testament and everything we are is based upon the Old Testament. I say thank God for the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I thank God for the Israelites, the Jews, contrary to some who are in our government today. You need to read the Bible your grandmother used to read. Those Old Testament stories have impacted all of society, all of the world. In fact, you're a very uneducated person if you don't know about David and Goliath, Jonah and the whale, the Ten Commandments, And I'm not talking about the movie, I'm talking about the Bible. Amen, somebody. Read your Old Testament and the New Testament will come alive. We hear about people going to Israel saying, oh, the Bible came alive to me. The Bible will come alive to you by the Holy Spirit's power if you would just read it. You say, well, preacher, I would read it, but I don't understand it. I can't get past three verses, a thousand of these, and I don't understand it. No, no. What you need, my dear friend, is a dose of the Holy Ghost. You need to be born again. You need to be saved. I didn't understand the Bible before December the 19th, 1979. I tried to read it for wisdom's sake. You know how we are. In our pride, we want to read great books like the Bible so that we can be knowledgeable and considered wise. But you can't read the Bible without the Holy Ghost. That's what the old saints used to call them. That's because what the Bible called them. The Holy Ghost. He'll open your eyes to the Word of God. And then your problem will become, as it is today, not that you can't read it and understand it, but you choose not to do it. Can somebody say amen? Verse 34 says, but the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel. That's what Jesus was doing of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Holy Father God, we give you glory, praise, and honor for allowing us to be here another day to not only proclaim your gospel and preach your holy word, but to hear it and to do it. Have it to transform the lives of your people. Lord, have your holy word work like a hammer and continue to break the hard, wicked hearts of people who claim to be yours, Christians. Our pride, our stubbornness, our rebelliousness, our disobedience. And help us as Christians to repent. And Lord, help us not to be like the religious Pharisees. And Lord, we pray for the salvation of the lost. Open their blinded eyes and unstop their deaf ears. And Lord, help them to speak and to call on your name to be saved by the power of your Holy Ghost, the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, thank you for the hundreds that are gathered live today on 16 different platforms. And Lord God in heaven, I pray that you'd bless them. Those who are lost, save them. Revive those who are saved. And have your Holy Ghost to not give them rest until they are right with you. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray. And for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said regarding this passage, the final miracle in this series of healings involved a demon. While there is a difference between sicknesses and demonic workings, the demons do have the power to cause physical afflictions. I believe with all of my heart many people are sick today because they are sin sick and they have opened up doors for demons to enter into their lives and into their families. In this case, the demon made the man mute. Think of what a handicap this would be. Jesus delivered him, and the people admitted that this was a new thing in Israel. They had never seen anything like this in their history. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we return to Matthew chapter 9, we pick up immediately after Jesus healed the two blind men and gave them sight and commanded them to tell no one what had happened to them. But like I told you last time, they were singing the same song the old black saints used to sing. I couldn't keep it. I said I was not going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. And so, my beloved, the text reveals that as they were on their way out of the house, certain individuals brought a man who could not speak to Jesus. He couldn't speak. He was mute. He was dumb, as they used to call him, even in the black community, down in the hood, down in the cut. If someone had a speech impediment like that, we would call him, and they couldn't hear as well, deaf and dumb. Thank God we have changed that today in our society. It would be rude to say that today. Now, I want to believe with all of my heart it was not these two blind men going out the door. I want to believe that. But when you read the text, it's hard not to imagine that. That they immediately disobeyed the Lord and told somebody. They were so happy that they could see. I'm just surmising. When they saw somebody else in trouble, they grabbed him and said, come, let me take you to Jesus. The text says they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. To kind of back me up a little bit, Dr. John MacArthur said the translation suggests that other people brought the dumb man to Jesus while the two former blind men were leaving. And that's what I want to believe. But another possible rendering reveals the idea when you read the King James Version, that the two men themselves came across another needy person as they were leaving and immediately brought him to Jesus for healing too. Amen, somebody. Oh, I like that real good. If this was the case, Dr. MacArthur said, they evidenced genuine commitment to Christ, and not only genuine commitment to Christ, but truly being born again. Because I'm here to tell you, once you are born again and you're saved, you're going to be interested in bringing other people to Jesus. Amen, lights. That's one of the evidences of your salvation. You're going to have a burden. You're going to have a concern. You're going to want to bring somebody else to Jesus. Not just you and your four and no more. But you're going to want to do something deep down in your soul to invite others to Christ and to bring them to Christ. There was a time in Bible-believing churches that everybody, almost everybody, would bring somebody to church. They said, I might not be able to witness to them, but my pastor would tell you how to get saved. They were setting them up for a salvation experience. There was a time when we used to be ashamed not to bring somebody to church. In fact, we used our cars to, as a van, as a church van, as a church bus. Y'all don't hear me. Oh, yes, we did. Everybody who had a car had to go and pick up somebody. That's when we were in the storefront. The pastor would bring in about four or five or six. The pastor's wife would bring in about four or five. And then key members of the church will bring in two or three. We spent half the morning picking up people and hearing lies about why they're not going and all that before we got to church. And I'm here to tell you those were blessed days. Now we're too important. We're too big time. Our mentality now, if they can't get to church, man, well, they just won't be coming. We don't want a whole bunch of poor people coming up here anyway. We need folks who can pay. Shame on us. But that's how, by the way, the mega churches got mega. That's how the churches that have 1,000 and 2,000 people got that way. Those old faithful saints in the old days when you were meeting down at a storefront, we used our cars to bring up somebody, to bring somebody to church. Pastor would call you up on Saturday night, go by and pick up so-and-so. I led them to the Lord today and they need a ride and they're not too far from you. That would help me out a whole lot because I got to pick up about 10 myself. The importance of bringing people to Jesus. And it is important today because we don't do it today. We are comfortable, excuse me, fat, dumb, and happy in our padded pews and air-conditioned buildings, driving our fine cars, coming from our houses on Pork Chop Hill. We don't want to stop down in the cut, down in the hood, to pick up anybody anymore. In fact, if we see them walking the church, some of us won't even pick them up and got an empty car. And here's what some of y'all say. No, I can't let them up in here because it's going to stink my car up and I got to spend $100 to get it clean and detailed. And oh man, let them walk, catch the bus, whatever. The church, we pay enough money in the church. The church ought to have vans to pick up these people. If you're not witnessing to lost people, you're not bringing folks to church, your church is dying. See, there's a funny thing about witnessing for the Lord and being a part of a local church. And every pastor knows that this is true. It's kind of like tithing and giving. If you witness to people, they over here in this community, they may not come. But they'll get saved, maybe go someplace else. But God will bring you double from someplace else to come to your church. Your church will continue to grow as long as you continue to be concerned about lost souls. You lose that, you lose everything. And many churches become a country club. This is where we meet our buddies. This is where we watch the Super Bowl together. We don't want any strange people coming up here. We know these folks. There are hurting people all around us. Each and every day. You'll be amazed. You'll be shocked how many people have a tender heart for the Lord. They don't look like it. They look rough. They look hard. You know why they look that way? Because the world will make you that way. But if you approach people right, in the power of the Holy Ghost, you'll be amazed at how hard-hearted and hard-looking people will trust Christ. They'll melt like butter. under the power of the Holy Ghost. Not your power. Not your fine speech. They're not interested in that. There are many people who would get saved just by reading a tract. They'll receive a tract from an introverted person like yourself because they're introverted themselves. They don't want anybody to talk with them. In fact, most introverted people will tell you they don't want anybody to say anything to them. Introverted people don't even want to say hi. They don't even want to speak. And they don't want you to speak to them. And so you might have you say, well, preacher, I'm an introverted person myself. That's fine. That's how God wired you. That's good. Well, you may have a ministry to the other introverted people in the world, where the only way that you'll reach them is by sending them a gospel tract online, or giving them one, or leaving them one on their windshield, or in the bathroom. Everybody is not the same. You'll be amazed at what God can do with you if you would be faithful in witnessing. The importance of bringing others to Christ. In the words of a young preacher out in California, San Diego, California, to be exact, do something. Do you, as one man wrote, do what God called you to do. You say, I can't be like Evangelist Billy Graham. No, you can't, but you can be the best you can be. Amen, somebody. You're not Billy Graham. The man had a special gift. God raised Billy Graham up. You be you, Sue Blue, or whatever your name is. You be the best that you can be, as the Army used to say. You can pass out one gospel tract, and that person who got the tract one day will get saved, and they'll lead 10,000 people to Christ. They might be the next Billy Graham. I know of a preacher right now lying in a hospital bed. He got saved through a gospel tract. God led him. Through him, thousands of folks have been saved. He got saved by picking up a gospel tract from he's a black guy. A white man gave him a gospel tract, a Oliver B. Green gospel tract. He read that tract, knelt down by his bed when he got home, and prayed the prayer and got saved. He was lost and on his way to hell very fast. Mean as the devil. Not only did he get saved, God called him to preach. He started pastoring. He started a church and pastored the church for many years. Preachers have come out of that church. I have preached in that church several times myself. Never went to seminary, never went to Bible college. Never thought he would be a preacher in his life, in his wildest imagination. He never wanted to be a preacher. In fact, he was not raised in church. The man who left that gospel tract for him will reap, if you will, the benefit, the blessing of the souls that this pastor led. Now that man, he didn't win as many souls as this man did, the one who read the tract. But that will go to his account as well. Like the young preacher said, in San Diego, California, do something. If you can't even pass out a tract to somebody, you're afraid to do that, bring somebody to church. Tell me. I'm going to church on Sunday. If you don't mind, I would love to take you to church with me. I'll swing by and pick you up if you want me to. And I'll walk in with you. Stay with you. There are many ways to witness for Christ, dear friends. You can probably name a few right now who you know are in some kind of physical, spiritual, or mental pain, heartache, trouble. That's when it's time led by the Holy Ghost to witness to some people. They're not going to hear you until they're in some pain. They lost a mother, they lost a father, they lost a child, or they have been told they have cancer. That you need to lovingly and wisely, through the power of the Holy Spirit, witness to them and tell them about Jesus. See, God allows all of these things to happen to help turn people's eyes to Jesus. This past week, I led my family in devotions and family devotions to sing an old song that I love so much. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. A beautiful, beautiful song. And that's what most people, that's what all people need to do, is turn their eyes upon Jesus and look in his wonderful face. Listen to me very carefully. Let me say this, and say this very clearly to you. It's not about you bringing the people to you, you great Christian you. No, no, no. It's not about bringing people to you and letting them hear you talk and tell how wonderful your Christian life is. No, 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 no. My dear friend, bless your little heart. That's not what it's about. The truth of the matter is, you really cannot do, no matter how great you are, you can't do anything for anybody, man, woman. Are you kidding me? Without Jesus, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. Without Jesus, we're nothing. I know you don't like to hear that. And I know we have some high-sounding Christians who will tell you otherwise, but without God, without Jesus, my dear friend, we are nothing. You can't save anybody. You can't even really help anybody. The best thing you can do for anybody is to bring them to Jesus. That's it. Because Jesus will know what to do with them. Jesus will know how to deal with them. Not you. You're just the messenger. Do your job. You're just the witness. Be a witness and bring folks to Christ. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the question is, are we doing all we can to bring these people to Jesus? Not to us, not to our great small group. If you're saying stupid things like, our small group will change your life, you don't understand what's going on, man. Oh my, our small group will help you get through your divorce. Our small group will help. No, 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 it's not about your little small group or your little Bible class, or whether or not you're the director of something. If you can just come into our class, you'll be changed forever. No, no, no. It's about turning them on to Jesus, if you will, please. It's about bringing them to Jesus. The only reason why I'm standing here today is because of Jesus. That's it. Jesus, God Almighty. God can do things in your soul that you could not do in a person's soul in a billion years, my dear friend. God, Jesus, if you will, if you would allow me to say, has a certain set of skills. He knows how to operate on the soul. My God, help us. He knows how to operate on the spirit and on the heart of man. So your job, dear friend, is to bring folk to Jesus. God didn't tell you to try to change them or help them heal or whatever. No, bring them to Jesus. He has the power. And you will be amazed at what Jesus will do with a man or a woman, or boy or girl. So many of us are amazed at how Jesus changed the lives of others, not only our lives, but the lives of others. It is amazing what God can do. Either the formerly blind man or others in the crowd saw a dumb man in need of healing and they brought him to Jesus, blind men rather. We cannot force people to come to Jesus or to go to Jesus. We cannot force people to receive what Jesus has to offer them. We cannot make people trust Christ. That's not what this is about. See, really, we try to make witnessing for Christ so difficult. It's all about just bringing people to Jesus, or pointing people to Jesus, or getting people to Jesus. Jesus can take care of the rest, my dear friend, because the greatest soul winner in the world is Jesus. The greatest soul winner in the world is God Almighty, joined with the Holy Ghost of God. They're more concerned about souls than you'll ever be. But here's how evil we are in the church today. We're so evil and so wicked that not only we don't obey Jesus' great commission to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, we don't even obey the other commandment when Jesus said, the field is already white under harvest. Would you please pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth more laborers? We won't even do that. When was the last time you prayed to the Lord for more workers to reap the harvest that is already there? Much less go out and witness yourself. And by the way, when you pray that prayer, you need to pray, Lord, and send me as well. Give me the grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to go out and witness myself and reap the harvest. Our job is to bring them to Jesus and help them get in a position to receive salvation, to receive deliverance, to receive healing in that order. One pastor came out with a book titled How to Reposition Yourself. Well, God wants us to be change agents and help people to reposition themselves to meet Jesus. God wants us to introduce people to Jesus, bring people to Jesus. If something good happened to you, then take them to the person who did it for you. His name is Jesus. If you can see now, take them to the man who gave you sight. If you can speak now, take him to the man who gave you the ability to speak. If you can hear now, take him to the man who caused you to hear. Take them to Jesus. The mute man, his inability to speak was not necessarily a medical condition, but rather a spiritual condition, as I believe most things are. All of these Christians who are depressed today, it's a spiritual problem. It's not a chemical problem. It's a spiritual problem. And many doctors are giving Christians pills to solve their sin problem, and those pills will never heal them. They were, in many cases, would be on pills for the rest of their lives. And this has become an epidemic and a serious problem across the nation. Some people can't relax. Some people can't sleep unless they take a pill. And many claim to be Christians. No. Dear friends, and see, these are they who don't want to face God and face the truth. They have added sin on top of sin in their lives. You keep doing that, that's going to depress you. You can call it clinical depression or whatever you want to call it. But many of the problems in our society today can be solved only through people getting right if they're Christians with Jesus, or coming to Jesus if they're not saved already. Verse 33 says, when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. Amen, somebody. Listen to me very carefully. You're not going to have peace in your marriage. You're not going to have peace and joy in your family. You're not going to have the power of God in a church unless people confess their sins and repent. Those who are lost get saved. Those who are saved get their hearts right with God. And demons are cast out. This healing reminds us that spiritual afflictions can have physical manifestations in many, many cases. That is why we are wise to seek the Lord in prayer, not only one time, but to pray without ceasing, even about what may seem to be purely physical problems. And by the way, in light of what's happening in the world today, when not only coaches, not only doctors, but pastors, youth pastors, older male family members are raping little boys and little girls in their early teens and their latter teen years. A story is in the paper today about a pastor who started raping and having sex with an underage child in the church. They started when she was 17. And it kept on going almost until she was 19. And she's messed up today. Thank God the pastor's in jail where he should be. We have a whole lot of that demonic, satanic garbage going on across this country and around the globe. Yes, not only in the Catholic Church, now it is being revealed in the independent, fundamental Bible-believing Baptist churches. Not only that, in the Southern Baptist Church. And it's been going on in the National Baptist Convention for years. And more of adultery and fornication with grown folks. Thank God not too many children have been involved, but there's a pastor, a black pastor of a Baptist church in jail this morning, rather today, because he raped a girl repeatedly who was 13 years old, and she got pregnant. And by the way, you fathers and mothers, you need to do a better job of watching your children, because worse than that is your 13-year-old, 14-year-old, 16-year-old, 17-year-old getting pregnant by the satanically driven devil man from hell. And this poor child got pregnant twice, and the pastor caused her to have two abortions. is happening. You say, well, preacher, why are you bringing that up today? Because that's how demons enter into people and mess them up for the rest of their lives, through molestation, through rape, through incest, older people having sex with younger people, which is rape. And nowadays, it's not just the men doing it. Now, every day, we hear about grown women raping boys, getting them drunk. Listen to me very carefully, people. You know that there's some demonic activity going on when you got grown women molesting boys, grown men molesting girls, married and have children and still doing that. Why am I bringing that up? Because so many thousands of lives have been destroyed by older brothers, fathers, so-called, stepfathers, raping, having sex with family members, church members. Mothers and fathers are bewildered because they noticed that their daughter was changing, and they couldn't put their finger on it until they found out later, years later oftentimes, that she was raped by the pastor, or raped by an older brother, or raped by a stepfather or a family member or Uncle Joe. And these devils are very slick. I know you don't like to hear it. I know it's uncomfortable. But it's happening. And that's why so many young people are demon possessed. One young lady says she doesn't even believe in God anymore because of what happened. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in closing, the dumb man and those concerned about him had likely sought medical attention, no doubt, for his condition. And that's okay. We don't know what the problem is. But I'm telling you what the problem is in most cases, or in many cases. However, it was not until he was brought to Jesus that he was healed, because the demon was cast out. When the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. It was never so seen in Israel. You know why? Because Jesus is on the scene now. Well, so you say, preacher, I've been hiding it from the church because I don't want anybody to think evil of my children or of my family. I've been hiding it from other people. But I believe that I have a family member who is demon possessed. What can I do? Do what Jesus said. This kind comes out by fasting and prayer. That's the only way it's going to happen, dear friend, through fasting and prayer. When Jesus is invited by faith into a situation, there will be results. Pardon me. No one who ever came to Christ through faith walked away without receiving what was in God's will for him or her to receive. So come to Christ with all your burdens and bring others to Christ for God's glory, praise, and honor, and for the healing of others. I assure you, I guarantee you that their lives will never change without Jesus Christ. They will not reap the benefits of following Christ if you don't bring them to Christ. Remember now, don't bring them to yourself, no matter how witty and how wonderful you think you are. Don't turn them on to you. don't hook them to you, as so many people do. And some of you people need to stop following mentors and follow Christ. Don't get attached to human beings who are oftentimes wicked as the devil themselves. Get you caught up in stuff that you can't get out of. And then 10 years later you want to report that you were molested or raped by them, your mentor. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look into his wonderful face. George Lansing Taylor said, O Savior, we are blind and dumb. To thee for sight and speech we come. Touch thou our eyes with truth's bright rays. Teach thou our lips to sing thy praise. Help us to feel our mournful night and seek through all things for thy light till the glad sentence we receive. Be it to you as you believe. Then swift the dumb to thee we'll bring till all thy grace shall see and sing. Let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we come before your throne of grace. The truth of the matter is, Lord, so many of us who are believers in Christ don't bring others to you anymore. We don't even bring others to your church house anymore. We don't pass out gospel tracts to others anymore. We don't go knocking on doors anymore. For there are still many not living in gated communities. They're mostly the poor and the down and out, but they need you too. And they will never become up and out until they trust you as Savior. So Lord, have mercy and grace upon us. And forgive us of our sins of not bringing others to Jesus. And forgive us of our pitiful sin of not even praying for more laborers into the fields to reap the harvest. Forgive us of our wicked sin of not praying for others to come to know you as Savior. Lord, help us all to repent. And Lord, you can turn things around in 1 week if we would simply be obedient to your great commission and to your great command and to your other commandment that tells us to pray ye the Lord of the harvest for more laborers to enter into the field. Help us to start today. Help us, Lord, to do something. And now, Lord, we pray that you would save those who are lost listening to me, that soul winners have gathered around their various devices around the world. Open their blinded eyes and unstop their deaf ears and save their souls and change their lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, in the free pardon of all of your sins, if you have never come to Jesus, it's time to come to him today. Allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation from sin and hell, and for salvation to heaven to be with God and Jesus Christ forever. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have failed God. No matter how smart you are, no matter how educated you are, no matter how handsome you are, no matter how pretty you are, no matter how rich you are. Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the entire world, has failed God, has sinned against God. And so has the poorest man in the world. I don't know who he is. Might be me, I don't know. But we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, please understand that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. We all have done evil. We all have done wrong. But there is a punishment. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages or the payment of sin is death. We're all headed towards death. One of the AI ladies said today that even AI can't keep you from dying. AI cannot give you eternal life. The wages of sin is death. That's why. We're all going to die if we live long enough. Our bodies will be taken to a grave and dropped therein. And our souls will go somewhere. If we have never trusted Christ as Savior, our souls will go to a place called hell. That's what Jesus said. That's what the Bible says. And yes, Jesus Christ, the loving and lowly one that even you respect, even lost people respect, his name is Jesus. He preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven, and he preached more on hell than most preachers preach about hell today. Hell is a very real place, and that's the reason why I say that, because many preachers don't tell you that truth. So thirdly, dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. You don't have to do anything else to go to hell. You've already done enough. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a bad place. Hell is a terrible place. Hell is a place of darkness, outer darkness, a place of gnashing of teeth, a place of pain and torment, a place of an agonizing memory. And once you go to hell, that is it. It is permanent, and you will be there forever. You will have eternal life, but it will be in hell. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, here's the good news. For God Almighty, he initiated it. For God so loved the world. This is amazing love, because we are some very nasty people, aren't we? Let's just be real about it. For God so loved the, if you will, nasty world, the wicked world, the evil world, where we have raised our fists against God in rebellion, in stubbornness, in pride. And here we are sitting on a ball, hanging on nothing, with our proud selves, not respecting God, not acknowledging God, saying stupid things like God is dead. For God so loved the wicked world that he gave his only begotten Son. While we were yet in our sins, God showed, commendeth his love towards us, that whosoever, that means anybody at any time, every murderer, every killer, every liar, every whoremonger, every homosexual, every thief, every robber, everybody who sinned against God, whoever you might be, no matter how you look or how much money you have, for whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell forever, but have everlasting life in heaven with God and Jesus. Jesus Christ not only died for your sins to save you from hell, dear friend, he died for your sins to save you to heaven, to be with him. Now that's love for you. So, dear friend, just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to save your soul, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died for all of your sins, was buried, and rose again. Romans 10, 9 and 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. This is the good news. You are a sinner. You deserve to go to hell, but God so loved you that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer, to bleed, and to die on the cross as the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world, was buried and rose again on the third day. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to be saved. You don't have to do anything religious to be saved. Just believe on Jesus Christ. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. And if you're ready to get saved today, repeat after me, phrase by phrase, this simple prayer called the Sinner's Prayer, and mean it from your heart. Join me in prayer. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have lied before. I've stolen things before. I've dishonored my parents. I've taken your holy name in vain. I have lusted after things and people before, and many other sins. I have broken your Ten Commandments, and I realize that I deserve hell fire. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. As I believe on you, Lord Jesus, fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believe in your heart, if you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other receptacles on whatever site you might be on, or wherever you might be hearing this message, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, until next time, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good. I thank God for each and every one of you all around the world, and I want to invite you to pray for me, my strength in the Lord, as I will be resuming everyday preaching shortly. God bless you. Until next time.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.